Calling the January 25th, 2024 Beautification and Environmental Advisory meeting to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Jack, will you call roll, please?
Ms. Belowski? Not present. Mr. Saint?
Present.
Mr. Jones?
Present.
Mr. Marciano?
Present.
We have a quorum. I need to inform the board that Mr. Saint put in his resignation as of today, so he'll no longer be a member of the board, and we will be sending out notices for a new board member in the next couple of months.
Who is that? Me?
No, not you, Mr.
Silver.
Mr. Silver.
I heard S and I thought it was Saint.
I thought it said Saint.
I'm looking at you, though, Mr. Silver.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Hey, Jackie, I'm not for sure if you're talking into the mic.
I'm not talking into the mic. Okay, I'll move it over. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good. So, first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from that December 7th, 2023 meeting. Members, did you have any corrections or additions, anything to note on that? No, all good? All right, do I have a motion to approve as presented?
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second? All right. Jackie, will you call roll, please?
I will. Mr. Saint?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Marciano?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 3-0.
Thank you, Jackie. Mm-hmm. All right, so next item on the agenda is presentation of the sign code. I'll turn this over to Mr. Ray Tyner.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Ray Tyner. I'm the Deputy Chief Development Officer for Community Development Department. I've been with the city for a very long time, since 2002, and what we have before you today is a modification proposal to our sign code amendment. So we got some history on the sign code. It was first adopted in 2008, along with our regular, land development code, our first land development code. Was completed in 2008, and then soon after that, maybe a couple of years, I can't remember the date, but we did a modification to that sign code. We got a lot of complaints with our existing code in 2008 by our development community. There was things in our code back then that like with landscape, I'm trying to relate it to the beautification of your committee here. Like, for example, landscape requirements were such that it actually blocked a sign, right? So there has to be somewhat of a balance in between that. But there was other things with our code, too, of the sizes and that type of thing. So, we worked with stakeholders, and we actually got the sign code completed. And it's a great sign code. When you look out at the city of Palm Coast, you look at our monument signs that we have. They're kind of low to the ground. They require landscape in front of it. Our wall signs aren't over the top. We don't allow, if you look in our draft sign code, we have a lot of different signage that's prohibited, like electronic signage in the city of Palm Coast, billboards, all these cluttering, balloon signs, signs that have smoke. There's a lot of different signage that we prohibited in the city of Palm Coast. So it's been really, really good. It's the sign code from, a resident standpoint, right, our citizens, and the development community, really, really no complaints. It's been going very, very good. So why are we here? What happened? Mm-hmm. Well, the federal government, our Supreme Court, passed some legislation quite several years ago And what they did is it stemmed from a church, I believe, a case where there was a city that the town would not allow them to have an appropriate size sign, right? So basically they wanted this, the city was saying, no, you had to have this small little sign. Mm-hmm. And if you drive by, you really can't see it, right?
Right.
So they challenged that, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court really went to their favor. You know, it's kind of like, hold on here. You're not going to allow them to have a sign you can read, but this business over here, you allow them to have a sign that you can read, right? So
sure, yeah.
So the federal law... the Supreme Court made a decision, so every kind of sign code in the nation, I guess, has to modify their sign code. So basically, the main points, and Estelle will, and Ms. Grossman will have the presentation, but the main points are, treat everybody the same. You can't categorize things, okay? You can't call out, like, this is a real estate sign because you're identifying that use. It has to be neutral. You know, you
right.
can't call out, this is real estate, this is, commercial, this is this, and so our code, a lot of our changes in our code. We have some changes that are kind of, has to do with the context of it, and the sizes, changed a little bit, and that's to be consistent with all the other signs. So you'll see, am I leaving anything out, Ms. Grossman, you or Estelle, kind of an intro? So what we had to do is go back in this code, categorize different things in a different way, kind of keep the intent of the code the way it was because we thought the code was really good, and so did everybody else. We had several workshops with stakeholders, the Chamber of Commerce. We had an organization called the Flathead County Association of Responsible Development. We had the realtors. So we did have, a lot of workshops. We had one workshop with Planning Board. We had a workshop with City Council. So now we're coming to you for kind of a recommendation. Now, one of the things, it seems like every code, I mentioned when we modified the code in the past, there was one little discrepancy that we had at the original code when we had the workshop. Out of all the things in our new land development code, there was one business that still wanted to make an argument to allow for electronic signs. And us as staff and our attorneys, we didn't agree to it. And of course, City Council at that time also agreed that, no, we should not have electric signs. And I think it was, if you allowed like one business to have electronic signs, you open it up to everybody.
It's
you treat everybody the same, right, when it comes to First Amendment rights, because this is what it is, right? You're dealing with the Constitution, dealing with rights of people to express themselves and language and everything. So, you allow somebody to have electronic signs, someone's going to go, oh, I want one too. So, you kind of open it all up. So, the theme of it really, the sign code, what we try really hard to do is be consistent with all your businesses, all your free expression signs. Consistency is very key and very important. And then what we really tried to do in this modification as well, so the last one we did, is you want to kind of have a balance, right? You don't want to go to the extreme like the one city or town did and causing legal battle because you're not allowed to have signage, right?
Right.
And because you're going to get sued by the business folks. You're going to get sued. But then you don't want to go to the other extreme either, where you're allowing all the signage, and then now, your citizens, your neighbors, the aesthetics of it is not well. So it is really a true balance to try your best to get in the middle of that to try to create a balance. And we believe that we created a balance with this modification. Now, the reason I mentioned last time before with electronic signs, we do have, we agreed with pretty much everything on, had no complaints. You know, some of the feedback that we got from the stakeholders, we added it to our code. It was very, very reasonable. One example would be, you know, if you're driving down the road and you see a new subdivision, you know, one example I would give, like Palm Coast Plantation. If you go down Colbert Lane and you see, it's kind of beautiful, right? You have the waterfalls, you have those kind of unique, and you have the subdivision sign that says Palm Coast Plantation. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't, our existing code really wouldn't allow that. You know, you'd have one little monument sign, but to be able to have these features and to be able to have that, you know, subdivision sign only to be a little bit bigger. So some of that, that's one example of some of the feedback we got. So yeah, that's a great idea, because Palm Coast Plantation is not technically in the city. So some things like that that we got feedback. But, you know, the realtors, they and there's no representatives here, but we did give them, provide them notice that this meeting was going to happen.
Sure.
But one of the things that they were great to work with, really good, and they had a lot of really good feedback that provided to us. We had several meetings with them. But one of the things that they will talk about will be signs in the right of way, having temporary signs in the right of way, and that's something that staff we can't agree with, you know, so that's going to be, you know, something that you could look at and help us, you know, what your recommendation would be to allow, you know, signage in the right-of-way or not, you know, so.
Is that more of an aesthetics thing or like a safety thing?
Well, it's a combination, and I think our presentation, we're going to talk about a little bit, we can get into a little bit more, and then the rest of the sign go, but Estelle, we'll have the staff presentation kind of go over what was changed in the different categories, and we'll have a discussion afterwards.
This might be covered in your presentation, but the electronic sign, would you be able to just kind of be a little bit more, just so I can understand exactly, because I have an image in my mind of what it is, but I just want to make sure.
So if you go to Orlando and you see movable signs that, you know, you have up there that show maybe a movie,
right.
You know, sometimes you'll see where they're changeable, where, you know, they're a commercial or something, it's movable, you know, flashing, you know, all kind of electronic. Now, what the gas stations use, and we do have some that have been grandfathered in, there's a gas station on Palm Coast Parkway, I'm sorry, State Road 100 and Old Kings Road, right next to McDonald's. There's an old gas station that still,
oranges and all that.
Where the oranges and everything used to have there, they still have maintained their, they have an electronic kind of lights for their gas signs. Now, if you look at racetrack, you know, that's movable. You know, the technology has changed. That's not electronic. That's kind of a movable. But your electronic is really like, you know, kind of like a lot of times they have like billboard kind of things.
And, right.
And lights and those type of things.
Yep. Essentially TVs.
Right now they're using TVs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're doing video on them. So,
right.
And right now the city prohibits that. You know, and like I said, if they open, and that has not been a discussion from any of our stakeholders or city council to allow those. But if you do, you just got to remember you're opening up one. You know, you got banks, you got ABC Liquor, you got, you know, McDonald's, you got Burger King, you got anybody who, you know, you open it up, anyone can have an electronic sign.
And then that changes the whole look of the city.
It can. It could really change the whole look and the whole character of the city. It really can.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that really is a safety factor too. You know, our code has a lot of whereas clauses in there, and having movable, and you're kind of looking at it while you're driving, and so.
Or even epilepsy, or, you know, things
like
that.
Yeah.
That some citizens may have. Yeah.
That's right. So. I'm going to hand it over to Estelle, and she's going to go ahead and do the presentation for you all, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Estelle, planner with the city. And as Mr. Tyner, actually, he explained a lot of the presentation, so it might be a little redundant, but this is a presentation on the proposed amendment to the sign code. Excuse me. And the sign code is regulated by the Land Development Code, Chapter 12, Signs and Advertising. And a little history, which Mr. Tyner explained, is that the sign code was adopted in 2008 with the city's Land Development Code. Certain sections were amended in 2009 and 2012. And the amendments at the time were made working with stakeholders to provide more flexibility for applicants in the development community. And the code is being amended now to comply with the changes in the law and address challenges and make the code more business and community friendly. The proposed changes to Chapter 12 include deleting content-based definitions and replacing with new location-based qualifiers. Basically, it's to the code regulates the location, the size of the signs, the area and height, and the number of the signs to ensure a pleasing environment. And generally, the signs that are currently permitted will remain permitted, and signs that are currently prohibited will remain prohibited. The big change in the code in Chapter 12 is regarding temporary signs. Before, they actually had the different sections of the code address the different types of signs, and including construction signs, garage sale signs, political signs, real estate signs, including open house signs, and banners and miscellaneous temporary signs. But to use those categories, you'd have to read the signs, and that's content-based. So now there's a table that replaces the former categories or former subsections. And these next two slides will address the new categories and the categories that they replaced. There's two tables. The first one is for non-residentially zoned properties. So commercial properties. And on the left side is the new, in the white is the new category. In the yellow are the subsections that were in the Land Development Code. So for example, commercial signs are replacing the section for banners for like open houses and going out of business. And then on the right side are the last two columns are the current code, what's allowed, and the other two columns are what's being proposed now. So for example, for the commercial signs for banners, we proposed one sign before, it's still one sign. All of the categories in this table, the area of the or the size of the sign is based on the size of the property or what's allowed. So for example, lots that are less than 1 acre can have a 16 square foot sign, and the areas are cumulative. So the next category for non-commercial signs, if I could get hold of the mouse, there it is. So non-commercial signs, which basically covers the prior category for political signs. Before you could have one sign, now we're proposing to allow four per business. And as I mentioned, the areas are cumulative. So you could have one 16 square foot sign, or you could have four square foot signs, and that's consistent through the categories. Signs for parcels with active site or building permits are replacing the prior construction signs. So prior, you were allowed to have one. Now we're proposing to allow two visible from the right-of-way. And the last category is signs on properties being actively marketed for sale, rent, or lease, which was the prior real estate category. And before you could have one, now we're proposing two from the adjacent right-of-way. The next table is for properties that are zoned residentially. So the same categories on the left, the non-commercial signs basically covers the, where'd my mouse go? Trying to be able to point, but there it is. Okay, so signs, non-commercial signs are basically covering the prior political sign category. Prior, you could have one sign. Now we're proposing that you can have up to six. Signs for parcels with active site or building permits were prior the construction signs. You can still have one, except the size varies with the size of the property. Then the signs on property actively marketed for sale, rent, or lease, that's broken into two categories. The first is single-family zoning, and the second is multifamily zoning. And this is for real estate signs and open house signs. This covers that. So before you could have one per building frontage, now we're proposing to allow two visible from the right-of-way adjacent to the lot. And additionally, this would cover the open house signs. One additional per property when the property is available for inspection by a prospective buyer or tenant. They can be up to 9 square feet and only posted on private property with the permission of the property owner. And the only difference is that for multi-family zoning, they can be larger than the single-family zoning. For signs on properties with a sale that's not defined above, which is basically your garage sale signs, you could still have one per street frontage and just a little bit bigger. Before it was 4 square feet and now it can be 6 square feet. Regarding public participation, Mr. Tyner mentioned that we did have two stakeholder meetings this summer, one in August, one in September, and the following groups were represented: the Association of Realtors, which is FCAR, the Association of Responsible Developers, which is FCARD, the Chamber of Commerce, local attorneys, and local developers. At the first meeting, one of the suggestions made by an FCARD member was for commercial subdivisions. If it's a commercial subdivision, one of the parcels might be, because the sign, freestanding signs are allowed based on your road frontage, and you have to have road frontage to put up a freestanding sign. So if there's a parcel that's been platted as part of a commercial subdivision, it might be in the back and not have road frontage. So the FCARD member, you know, thought that wasn't fair, and they're, you know, they should be allowed to have a sign on the road also. So we did add a provision where one additional sign would be allowed for a parcel like that. Mm-hmm. Also, at the first stakeholder meeting, the Association of Realtors provided a letter to staff with their recommendations for open house signs. And that's on the next slide, which we did discuss at the next meeting, at the September 22nd meeting. But this is a copy of the letter that they provided to staff. And just to summarize the letter, I mean, the proposed ordinance meets or exceeds all of their recommendations as far as the size of the signs, the height of the sign, the area, the height, the number of signs. The only thing that we're not in agreement with is allowing signs in the right-of-way. They want to put their open house signs in the city right-of-way. As Mr. Tyner mentioned, there were two workshops. The first workshop with the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board was held on October 18th. One of the board members at that meeting, the only suggestion that was made at that meeting was one of the board members noticed that our construction signs for parcels, which is now signs for parcels with active site or building permits on them, we were proposing they would be 4 square feet or up to 4 square feet, but real estate signs could be 6 square feet. So he just thought that wasn't, you know, why. So we just changed that to 6 square feet so that would be consistent. Then this went to City Council workshop on November 14th. And the discussion really at that meeting just centered around allowing signs in the right-of-way. That's as far as we got. And that's what the council members mostly spoke about. And the city attorney at that meeting was tasked with researching litigation regarding signs in the right-of-way. And she did prepare a memo that I did provide in the agenda packet, which provides cases on sign safety rationale and studies regarding safety issues involved in the sign placement. And as mentioned, this was provided. And what we'd like to just emphasize is that if any signs are allowed in the right-of-way, all signs would be allowed in the right-of-way. We can't distinguish, yes, you can have an open house sign, you can't do this. They would just all be allowed. Do for all. So it would include freedom of speech signs, political signs, commercial signs, you know, open out, everything would be allowed.
Right.
And the purpose of the right-of-way we wanted to mention is, you know, obviously the roads are in the right-of-way, the pavement, but then in the side of the right-of-way that's not paved is where all the utilities are. So we've got electric lines, fiber optic cable, water and sewer pipes, storm drainage facilities, swales. And then, of course, the right-of-way needs to be maintained. So if you've got signage in the right-of-way, it makes it difficult to maintain the right-of-way. So it's maintained, some of it is maintained by our Public Works Department, and some of it's maintained by the private owners of the parcels. The Public Works Department did state that signage in the right-of-way creates issues, including, you know, personal injury, additional employee hours to move the signs, and damage to the mowing equipment. And this slide shows maps of the main streets. One thing I did not include before is that one of the council members, when we mentioned the maintenance of the right-of-way, and, you know, people are home on the weekends mowing their lawns, and they're required to maintain their yards up to the pavement. So if there's signs in the right-of-way and they're trying to mow the grass, it would be obviously very inconvenient for the private property owners. So the suggestion was made to not have the signs allowed in the public right-of-way in the neighborhoods. So that's why these maps represent the main streets, the arterial streets that don't have, you know, people's houses on them. And also the recommendation was made to just allow it on the weekends, but mostly just on the main streets. So the one on the left are all the arterial and collector roads, the major roads in the city. The slide on the right, in the red, shows the right-of-way that is maintained by the city, by Public Works. And the yellow shows the right-of-way that in the major streets that are maintained privately by the private property owners. Mm. And the next slides are just going to show basically sign clutter, you know, what it could look like if we allow signs in the right-of-way. So we just put, these are actually in Palm Coast, and I'm sure Barbara will have stuff to say about that.
Right, right.
And just the types of things that could be put in the right-of-way and we wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Right.
So, again, these are just, and this shows, you know, just creating a lot of trash, basically, because they get picked up and thrown out. The next steps for this code amendment, it's scheduled to go to the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board business meeting on February 21st, and then there will be two hearings with the City Council. The first reading of the ordinance is scheduled March 19th, and the second reading is scheduled April 2nd. And staff recommends that the Beautification and Environmental Advisory Committee, BEAC, recommend to the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board and to City Council to approve the proposed ordinance amending the sign code as it's presented, which prohibits any sign located in a right-of-way as it is regulated currently in the Land Development Code, Chapter 12. And then, questions? Y'all have questions?
Yeah, can I? So temporary, can you define that, and does that vary depending on what kind of signage and what area you're in?
What, define temporary signs? It's not permanently affixed to the ground, the kind that you stick in and they're allowed.
Right, there's no temporal aspect to it. So one of the things that really irks me is when you get an election and you get all the political signs and right-of-ways and wherever, and then the election's over and they leave them. And so the question I have is there any kind of temporal controls or a permit? Is what, how do you deal with that part?
There are time constraints, but.
Yes, what happens is they can't be placed in the right of way at any time. I think if you went back on the photos, can you go back one more to, okay. Okay, right there, right at the tree line, thank you.
Right, that would be
we're going to do it again and again and again. Okay, see, if you look at the sign on the right, we're telling everybody that they have to be parallel to the right-of-way. Those are perpendicular over there, so they're all in violation. And if you can see here on the left-hand side, they are, with the exception of maybe one that isn't. So they're right at the tree line. They're not causing a right-of-way issue. They're not actually in the right-of-way. DOT will have them so that they can be at the tree line, because a DOT right-of-way goes 150 feet back on US 1, so they'll allow them right at the tree line.
Gotcha.
So you'll see the same, and that's the same thing on Old Kings Road you would see. What happens after the election is over, so now they're at the community center or they're in the media, they can't put them in the ground. They have to hold them. Okay, if they put them in the ground, they can be taken.
But
once the election is over,
right,
they have 15 days to remove the signs.
Days.
If the signs aren't removed by them within the 15 days, then code enforcement would go out and remove all the signs.
Okay. No fines to the violators or anything like that?
Well, the problem with civil citations is...
Yeah.
Okay, and when you give a fine of $25 or $50 and you you're not going to take it to a collection agency. So the idea is to spread and educate and let them know. We've been known to call their, you know, political person and say, hey, look, you know, you can't have these in the right-of-way. We're taking them. We don't give them back. They go into a location where there's a locked dumpster. You can't dumpster dive, because if you do, then they're back out there. I'll give you an example. On not a political sign, but garage sale sign. I took the dogs for a walk. Two signs at the corner of Cimarron and Palm Harbor Parkway. I tell the dogs, chill out a minute. Mom's got to do something. Put the signs in the car. Take the dogs for a walk. Come back. Two signs in the right-of-way again. They're happy. They went for a walk. Just a minute. Let me pick them up and put them in the car. Take the dogs home, go into Publix, Island Walk. Two more signs, and I have to stop and pick them up, put them in the car. Come home from Publix, two more signs, eight signs in a matter of 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's why all or nothing, because just think, if you had that, plus political signs, plus open house signs, plus freedom of speech. Last year, knowing what we do, we picked up 4,800 signs in right-of-ways.
Yeah, right. And that's pretty expensive when you talk about waste collection.
And then what you'd have to compound the situation with is additional employees and additional costs to be able to go and pick up all those signs.
Right, right. Sure.
Excuse me, could you introduce yourself to the board so they'll know who you are?
I'm sorry. Excuse me, how rude.
That's all right. No problem.
My name is Barbara Grossman, and I'm the code enforcement manager for the city of Palm Coast.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. All right, so do we have any other questions for the presenters or discussion matters amongst ourselves about anything?
This chart, gentlemen, this chart was provided in the packet as well. It kind of summarizes it's actually a copy of the actual chart that's in the code, mm-hmm. and it does have the time constraints. So this is not a comparison of, you know, the new code to the old code. This is what's proposed. The categories, the prior categories are in red, but those are the time constraints associated with the different types of signs. So you could see the 15 days that Barbara was talking about for non-commercial signs.
Right, right, sure.
I just wanted Good to deal. Mention that there are time constraints. So.
Absolutely, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so I think, I don't know about you, committee members, I'm in agreement for sure with the right-of-way issue. I think that it poses too many safety concerns and also a lot of logistical issues that can be a nightmare. And just when we're talking about how we want the city to look, you know, as a whole and different things, I think that that's a very important thing moving forward.
Mr. Vice Chair, you need to make a motion. Someone needs to make a motion.
Well, I think there's still a discussion, Jack.
Are you still in discussion?
Yeah, yeah.
We're here as long as y'all need us. Yeah. I mean, don't be shy. I mean, if y'all have other things in the code that y'all read or looked at or have any other questions, we're here for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ray.
So I think in the beginning you were mentioning, I guess, about that, if you want to call it a lawsuit, it went to the Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not too privy on that and, like, what that situation was, but it sounded as though there was a comparison made from one business to the other, or a surrounding area, right? So the one business says that they were not allowed to have a certain amount of... I'm just trying to understand exactly.
One was issued a violation and the other was not.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. And so it was Reed versus Gilbert, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And Clarence Thomas weighed the final decision, no longer content, all or none. So it kind of changed the rules for all municipalities in all over the United States of America. Either you're going to leave them all there and you're not going to read the content. That means hate. That means freedom of speech. That means political. That means anything.
Right.
So in the background, I don't know, because I was probably in the bathroom or getting water or something, but in 1993, I went to work for the Palm Coast Community Service Corporation when ITT left.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't allow signs in the right-of-way. Palm Coast Community Service Corporation didn't allow signs in the right-of-way.
Sure.
The city of Palm Coast does not allow signs in the right-of-way right now. And that's what we're bringing to you because of how the changes are, and to say, if you're going to let one person do this, you're going to let every business, you're going to let every citizen, you're going to have to let it's all for one. And that's what happened with the Supreme Court on the ruling. So when you used to see prohibited temporary sign obscene, now it's not obscene. It has to be fighting words. So if you want to get up there and put a flag up on your, it's political time.
Sure,
people
sure.
People like to hold flags, and they like to use the F word and put whoever they're not voting for.
Right.
That's not fighting words. But if I'm walking in an airport, and am I in a military uniform, and you say, holding a sign, F the draft, that's fighting words.
Sure.
That's a different issue.
Right.
But everybody putting their signs in the right-of-way is content. They're non-fighting.
So when we're talking about freedom of expression signs, you heard that term, right?
That's right,
your, you know, you might have a real estate agent that, you know, is going to promote their real estate agent in an open house or what have you, or McDonald's or what have you. But a freedom of expression sign is like, you know, I can go out and do what I want to say. I can say something like, code enforcement stinks at the city, right?
Right.
And
you can put it out
there.
You're
kind of allowed to do that, right?
Right.
So it's do for one, do for all. You allow this business to have it, and free expression signs too. You open it all
to
public lands, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's really key too. Like, you know, our code does allow free expression signs for houses, like single family homes. You know, if you want to put a free expression sign out there, you're able to do that.
Right, right.
So it seemed like there were a bunch of, I think the electronic one was pretty straightforward, I think, unless anybody. But then there was a lot of tweaks that were made, it seemed, that they went from 1 to 4 or 1 to 2. And it was that in participation with FCAR or FCAT?
No, that was mainly trying to be consistent across the board with the different signage. Like if, can you put the spreadsheet back up? Go ahead, Barbara, you want to say something?
No, go ahead. I think you're going to say it. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, one of the things you can look at, like, we have the cheat sheet up there, right?
Yeah.
Everything in yellow, right, is kind of like a cheat sheet. Like, you
those
know,
the old code,
right, we used to say construction signs. Everyone kind of knows what that means, right? Hey, a construction sign. Mm-hmm. Well, now in our code, because we have to be neutral on this stuff, signs for parcels with active site and building permits. That is now known as construction signs. Open house signs, we can't, or real estate signs, we can't call them that anymore. We have to call them signs on property actively marketed for sale, rent, lease, or single family. So you see what I mean? How
that way it
we kind of have to switch the, you know, to be kind of content neutral.
Right, right.
On the terminology too.
So. Yeah, yeah.
And so. Then the, you know, the area is really us trying to be consistent with other signage that we allow with the dimensions and the sizes.
Right.
That's basically it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so. Then, as Estelle kind of pointed out too, though, up here, you know, should be no, it's cumulative, right? So you can't have, you know, 1 acre, you know, 16, you know, you can't, it's all cumulative. You can't exceed 32 square feet. So you might have, you know, one sign that's 32 square feet, but then you're limited, it's going to limit the number of signs.
Right.
Size.
Or you could have political signs and you want to vote for, you know, county commissioner, you want to vote for city council member, you want to vote for the president of the United States. You could have a cumulative, but you couldn't exceed the full square footage.
Right.
I don't think you'd see six real estate signs on one piece of property. So, yeah. And you can't do the content. So that way the cheat sheet is that if you saw, you know, somebody calls on the phone and says, yes, Mrs. Grossman, do you know that there's six signs over there? Mm-hmm. Well, if we go out and we know that it meets the square footage, they're not in violation.
Right.
And it sounds like it's creating some better continuity with it. Mm-hmm. The non-commercial signs, I've seen like special events, so like say that there's things happening here in Central Park here. Is that an example of it, or would it be something different? Because that one looked like it jumped pretty...
Well, for instance, let's use a banner, a grand opening.
Okay.
Okay, they have a certain time period, so many months after the business is open, and they can have it for so many days, and then it has to be removed.
Okay. That's fair. That makes sense.
The same with if it were tree sales for Christmas, or it was fireworks for the fireworks, that type of thing, yes.
No, sure. Are there any other questions from the committee members or discussion items for this?
Where did some of the numbers that you ended up moving them to? Like, was there anything that you saw from other cities, or was there a recommendation from...
As far as...
Like, for example, again, the non-commercial sign, it went from 1 to 4.
We did use comparison with other communities.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just curious.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else? All good?
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, we'll open this item up for public comment. Seeing as how there is no one, we will close this item for public comment. And then...
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Can you call roll, please? Yep.
I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, you have to, in your motion to...
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And we didn't do this, but this is the recommendation. If you want to read it into the record, that's what you agreed to.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm sorry about that. But
no, that's okay.
You know, to make a motion, we just want to, to make... Right. So we put that up for you. It's kind of a...
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
That's okay. What
you agree. Yeah. So we'll restart. So do I have a motion to recommend to the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board and to the City Council to approve the proposed ordinance amending the sign code as presented, which prohibits any sign located within a right-of-way as regulated in Land Development Code Chapter 12?
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Second.
Roll call. Mr. Saint?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Mr. Marciano?
Approve.
Okay, motion carries 3-0.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. All right, so we'll go to the next item on the agenda, which would be naming of the residential task force. So for this, I'll turn this over for presentation to Ms. Maven Rogers.
Thank you. Good evening, committee. So I do not have a presentation today. So just kind of verbally talking, because this was brought up back in December, and it seemed like we landed on two names. So just to kind of refresh. So the City of Palm Coast is seeking to name an environmental residential task force, specifically focused on education, outreach, and events. This task force will be meeting monthly to bi-monthly. And we landed on Palm Coast Thrives or Palm Coast Creates. I would recommend, after further consideration, that we maybe go to the Palm Coast Thrives name, because Flagler County Cultural Council is just created, and I'm wondering if Palm Coast Creates could create some confusion on what the group is for. So just wanted to give you the mission statement really quickly.
Yeah.
So. This is a City of Palm Coast program designed to engage residents on various environmental issues while completing sustainability and resiliency projects. Residents help the City of Palm Coast become one of Southeast's most vibrant, environmentally friendly cities.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that. So I actually, when I was reviewing the agenda and everything for today, I actually quite liked Thrive more. Just outside of, you know, that new information. Because I think that when you're talking about sustainability, it's all about taking what you have and creating more from it, right? So I thought that just in general, that the create was a little contradictory to what sustainability is. So I like thrive much better, just personally. I don't know what you guys, any thoughts, comments?
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a nice interpretation. I think I was already stuck on thrive, so you don't have to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What
I agree, yeah.
Like thrive, yeah,
I like the word thrive. I just couldn't figure out where to fit it into the name.
Right.
Oh, sure.
I was wrestling with that part. It's positive, and it's, you give the people that see the title that you're moving forward and going to do good things.
So, right, yeah, I think it embodies the spirit.
Right, rather than, like you said, sustaining kind of what you already have, which... Right. May or may not be a good thing to do.
Yeah. You know? Sure. Ms. Rogers, do you have anything else to say about the name or the mission statement or anything?
No, I would just ask if you, as committee members, when you go out and talk to your neighbors or your friends, if you could let them know that this group is starting. I am looking for recruits, and so if you could send them my email, anyone that's interested. If you all are interested, you can still participate because it's separate. Mm-hmm. We are looking at having two separate meetings to accommodate the public. So there will be a morning meeting, and then there will be an after 5 p.m. meeting. So that way everyone can attend.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Awesome. I think we could motion to approve.
So first we have to open for comment.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we'll open this item for public comment. And seeing as how there's no one approaching the podium, I will close this item for public comment. All right, so then now we will entertain motions to approve the name and mission statement for the Residential Task Force.
Yes, approve for Thrives.
All right, and then do I have a second?
Second.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Roll call vote. Mr. Saint?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Mr. Marciano?
Approve.
All right, motion carries 3-0.
All right, thank you so much. All right, Mr. Rogers, are there any other items for discussion today?
I do not think so, unless you all have questions.
Sure. Are there any questions about anything today?
Were you still working on the acronym for Thrives?
I did look into trying to add some letters. I got it, and it didn't
flow well.
It didn't. And also, I think Thrives, because it is a five-letter word,
yeah,
it could kind of come off a little clunky,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sounds like a sentence.
Yeah.
But I am open to suggestions as we move forward. So if you all think of something, if you're wordsmithing at home at 11 p.m. at night, please feel free to let me know, because we can go back in and obviously like do things with the acronym and things like that. So if you all think of anything, please let me know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do.
So for this, can we call it a committee? Is it a committee?
I'm calling it a task force.
Task force, right. In the essence of like when it's going to launch or when it's going to get started, do you have a projected date?
We're actually hoping March. So we were projecting February, but our Southern Recreational Facility, where we're going to host most of our meetings, will not be ready for that type of meeting space until March.
Good.
Yeah, our Southern Recreation Facility is planned to be opened mid-February, third week of February.
Sure.
Oh. Awesome. Sounds good. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mr. Saint, too, just to let you know, students are more than welcome to participate.
Oh, absolutely.
So if they're under the age of 18, they can still come after hours. So, and they're welcomed.
Awesome. Sounds good. I will definitely spread that information out, because I've definitely got several very passionate students this year in that area. So
that's great. We'd love to have their voice there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's always powerful when you can get all members of the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anything else? Any other items for discussion? Any members? Anything? All good? Okay. I will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Saint, Mr. Jones, and Ms. Marciano all agree to adjourn at this time?
Yes.
Meeting's
closed.
Meeting's closed.